Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's a good, strong good morning, especially when only half of the school's here, the older pupils having gone off on a field trip somewhere.
I hope they come back.
I'm sure they will. Now, it's nice to be back with you. We have been away for a number of weeks in Canada, far, 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 far away, thousands of miles away, visiting family, and I must say we thought of you when we were away, and especially when Tuesday and Thursday came round, I was thinking of you. Now, I didn't think of you at this time, because it's now 1 o'clock in the morning over in British Columbia, the far west of Canada. So I wasn't thinking of you at that time. But when I woke up, then I thought about you. But here we are, by the mercy of the Lord, brought back safely, and we're gathered around the Word of God again. We're starting a new parable, and you'll find it in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We were looking, the last time we were together, at the parable of the prodigal. And in that parable, there is reference to two sons. And this parable also has two sons. And we're going to read about them. But before we actually read the verses in which we find the parable, I'd like to read a little earlier in the chapter, the verse 23, so that we get the context, we get the setting, and we see the full scene that's taking place there. Verse 23 of Matthew chapter 21, and we read, "And when he was come into the temple," verse 23 of Matthew chapter 21, he's in the temple. The Lord Jesus is in the temple. And whenever he was in the temple, he was always teaching. He was always teaching. Temple was a beautiful building, great big building. It would accommodate hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And the Savior had a very large congregation whenever he gathered, ready, eager to hear the words of this wonderful preacher from Galilee. So this is where he is. He's in the temple. And when he's there, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him. They didn't like listening. They didn't like hearing what he had to say. Whenever they came to the Lord Jesus, it was to challenge him. It was to try and contradict him and show to the people that he was a fraud and that he was not who he claimed to be. They were trying to do this, boys and girls, even though the Lord Jesus had wrought miracles by the score. I think we could say by the hundreds, at the very least by the hundred, proving that he had the power of God. But that didn't convince these old leaders of the people who were false and deceitful and wicked. So, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things?" The things? The miracle. Now, I've often said to you, when you're studying God's Word, listen carefully to everything that is said. Stop every so often and ponder what it is that's being said. Let's listen to that question again. By what authority doest thou these things? Verse 23. Now, there's a number of very interesting things there. The first thing is this, boys and girls. Whether or not these sinful, wicked men, these chief priests and the elders of the people, whether or not they meant to, they were acknowledging that Jesus had wrought many miracles. You see what it says? By what authority doest thou these things? They were acknowledging that he was doing great things. So it's wonderful how sinful men are forced to acknowledge the wonderful ways and works of God. But of course, what they were trying to do was trip the Savior up, and they're concentrating upon what right had you to do these things? What's your authority? Who said you could do these things? What a stupid question that is. And the Lord Jesus wrought miracles. It was clear that the power of God rested upon him, because the miracles he wrought, only God could do. Only God could raise the dead. Only God could heal a leper from his leprosy. Only God could give sight to the blind. Only God could open the ears of someone who's deaf. Only God. But these evil men were challenging the Savior. By what authority do you do these things? Because they were just trying to oppose him and stop the people listening to him and following him. Let's read on then. And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which, if you will tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. It is said that an Irishman, when he is asked a question, always answers by asking a question. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He's asked a question, and he answers the question by asking them a question. I also will ask you one thing, which if ye will tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And here's the question. The baptism of John, whence was it? Where did it come from? From heaven? Or was it of man, just a mere invention of John? Did he just make up this baptism? Now, in the verse 25, we're allowed to see into the minds of these chief priests and elders. God lets us peep into their minds and into their hearts and see what they're thinking when they are asked this question by the Lord Jesus. Look at what it says. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say, From heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say, Of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. This is what they were thinking. And let me tell you, while they were thinking this, quietly in a little huddle, whispering among themselves so that nobody would hear, the Lord heard them, God heard them, and the Holy Spirit wrote down here for us to read what they were thinking. Boys and girls, let me tell you, right now, God knows what's going on in your mind. He knows whether you're listening or whether you're not. He knows whether you're paying heed or whether you're not. You cannot deceive God. You cannot deceive God. So, in the verse 27 we read, And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. In other words, there was no answer they could give that would really wrong foot the Savior, that would give them an advantage over the Savior. No matter how they answered, whether they said John's baptism came from heaven or John's baptism just came from men, no matter which one they went for, they could be hit hard by the Savior in response. So they decided, we just pretend we can't tell. And so that was their answer. We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You know, if you try to bluff God, God will stop speaking to you. They tried to bluff the Lord Jesus. Oh, we don't know the answer to that. And the Savior said, All right, I'll not give you an answer to your question. You try to bluff God, and he'll just stop talking with you. He'll leave you in your darkness. Oh, boys and girls, we must ever be honest with the Lord and straightforward with the Lord and not try to deceive him. Now we come to the parable. Verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. But he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second, that is the second son, and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. whether of them twain, or as we would say in modern English, whether of these two did the will of his father? They, that's the leaders and the elders, and they said unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now the Savior is undoubtedly addressing the chief priests and the elders when he says that. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, that is, seen that others believed the message of John, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Amen. We'll end the reading of God's word there. Now, I don't want to get into the parable too far today, since half the school is missing, and I don't want them to miss out on the parable and what it has to say. So this morning, I'm just going to look at the first few words the Savior utters in this parable. Look, please, at the verse 28. How does it begin? But what think ye? That's how he begins his parable. But what think ye? What does that teach us? Now, I've told you before, you have to step back and think about what it is you see. You have to act like a detective. I've used that illustration many times. When a detective comes on a scene of a crime, first thing they do is seal it off. Don't let anybody in. Because if they were in, they would only disturb things and maybe disturb some very important clues. So nobody was allowed in. Then the detective would very carefully walk round the scene. Maybe it was in a house. And he would carefully note everything to see if there was anything there that would indicate to him who had done this, who had committed this crime. Did they leave a footprint? Did they drop something that belonged to them that would tell who they were? That's what he was looking for. When you come to God's word, you have to be a detective and you have to note what is said and see what you can learn from. So, here we have simple words. Verse 28, but what think ye? What do we learn from that? Well, I would suggest that the first thing you learn from these words is that the Lord Jesus wants you to think. That's what he wants you to do. You see, in there between your ears, there's a wonderful machine. You can't see it, but there's a wonderful machine. And it's capable of the most wonderful things. It's called the brain. And it's capable of thinking. When you were in bed this morning, and you opened your eyes, you thought. What did you think? Well, some of you might have said, oh, I have to get up. Some of you might have said, oh, I'm starving, I must get some breakfast. Some of you might have said, oh, school's on today. But your brain was working. And out of bed you hopped. You threw off the pajamas. You got your clothes. You jumped into them. You run to the bathroom and wash your face, of course. And then off to get your breakfast. Saying hello to everyone you met. Daddy, Mommy. And other members of the family, no doubt. I hope you didn't come down looking very miserable with a big scowl on your face, but rather a bright, bright smile. But the thing is, boys and girls, your brain was thinking. It was working out things. It was, to use a big word, analysing things. Where did I leave my shoes? Where did I throw my socks? And your brain was handling all these things. And your brain is capable of wonderful, wonderful things. And God wants you to use it. God wants you to think. He wants you to employ your faculties. That's what we call your brain and what it can do and the capabilities that it has. He wants you to employ the faculties with which you were born every day. He wants you to employ them. What think ye? What think ye? Then something else. The Lord wants you to think especially about eternity. about eternal things, about spiritual things. You know, out there in the world there are people at this very moment, they've got up, they've started another day, they're in the shop, they're in the store, they're in their office, they're on the building site. What are they doing? They're thinking about their work. But the vast majority of them never give a thought to their soul, to God, to heaven, to hell, to life, to death. Never a thought. That never comes into their minds. They don't think on these things. All they can think about is earthly things. But God wants you, boys and girls, to think about eternal matters. You see, the Savior was going to talk to them here, as he had been all along, about eternal things. If you look down further in the chapter to the verse 31, you will find the Savior mentioning the kingdom of God. That's what he wants us to think about. He wants you to think about the kingdom of God. That's what he wants you to think about. He wants you to think particularly, am I in the kingdom of God? Am I a member of the kingdom of God? That's what he wants you to think about. He says in another place when he was talking with a man, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't get into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Maybe some of you had a birthday recently. That day marks when your life began. And your life began as a member of your family. You were born into your family. You became a member of your family. And boys and girls, you need to be born again to be a member of God's family, to be part of his kingdom. So the Savior here says, what think ye? He wants them to think, and he wants them to think about eternal matters. But he's going to talk to them about the kingdom of God. And then the last observation I want to make on these opening words of the Lord Jesus, and I've already touched on this, man by nature will not think about God and his kingdom and eternal thing. It will take God to prompt them. Here's the Savior, he's prompting them. What think ye? He's stirring them up, prompting them to begin to think about the kingdom of God and eternal matter. And men don't think about these things unless God prompts them. The mind of the unsaved man can't mount upward to ponder spiritual things. It is said that a pig cannot look upward until it's lying on its back. And that's a pretty true observation, because most animals can lift their head away up and look all around them, but a pig can't sort of lift its head very high. And men are a bit like the pig. It's only when they're lying on their back and in trouble that they begin to look upward and think about God. Listen to these words. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That's John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except he is drawn by the Father. There's neither a desire or an inclination among men to come to Christ except God begins to work. Listen to another verse. Still in John chapter 6, it's the next verse, verse 45. It says, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When God the Father takes a dealing with sinners, then they learn and they come to Christ. They learn their need. They learn that he is the one to whom they must go with her to be saved. And they come to him. Oh, listen to the words of the Savior. Again, chapter 6, verse 65, Jesus said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. All these words indicate that man will not think of coming to the Savior, will not come to the Savior unless God works in his heart. One final verse, Psalm 10, the verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. How many thoughts have you got this morning? You couldn't begin to number them. They're just flowing out of you. You're thinking all the time. Thinking, thinking, thinking. Is there one thought in there about God? About the soul that you have that needs to be saved? About the eternity to which you're going? Is there one thought? The Savior wants you to think today, boys and girls. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, bless the school today. Remember the senior pupils off on that field trip. Be near to them and bless them. And grant to them your help and your protection. And bless the younger ones here. Lord, may there be a happy day in school today. Day of learning. But above all, Lord, may there be thoughts in their hearts about Thee and their need of salvation. Bless the school then, and all of our schools. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.